Welcome to Always Here. My name is Greg Horn, and got a good friend joining me today, Megan Jordan. She was on several months ago. We got a great response from a couple programs we did with her. And if you missed those, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. You can go back and listen at your convenience. You may tune in at a program if you're listening on the radio and catch the middle of it and think, man, I'd like to have heard the first part of that. Or maybe you catch the second of three programs. But you can go back and listen to podcasts of any radio program we've done at your convenience. They're only 14 minutes long, and you can go to our website, Hope Is Here. But Megan likes to write, and she wrote something recently. God kind of laid on her heart about plateaus. Talk to us a little bit about this topic, Megan.
Sure. So this is really for anyone that's going through a season of just feeling like they're being crushed. And, you know, they're following the Lord, and they know that they're doing what the Lord is asking, but it just feels like everything in you is being emptied out. And that can be a really hard season to be in, because you know you're doing what you're supposed to, but it just doesn't feel like you're where you're supposed to be. And so he took me to Isaiah 41:18, which says, I will open up rivers for them on the high places. I will give them fountains of water in the valleys. I will fill the desert with pools of water. Rivers fed by springs will flow across parched ground. And the word plateau just kept ringing in my head over and over again. And I know what that looks like, but I didn't know what that real definition was. So I looked it up, and on National Geographic, it says plateaus are created over time as wind and rain wear away the uplifted rock into nature's table-like structure, giving it distinction from surrounding terrain. And I just thought, how interesting is that, that wind and rain, I mean, that's characterized, that those are two of God's most described characteristics in the Bible over and over again. We see him described as wind and rain. And it took me to Matthew 16:18, which says, on this rock I will build my church, and hell will not prevail against it. So he's attributing us to that rock, that the kingdom is inside of us. So we are that uplifted rock, that he is using the characteristics of himself to wear away into that table-like structure. And when you think about a table, one of the first things that I think of is those still life paintings, and you always see bowls of fruit on those tables, always. And so it really started this imagery going for me of, you know, tables being a very intimate place where people sit and they share conversation. And, you know, it's a very intimate place to be in with someone that you really trust at a dinner table sharing a meal. And so I started to think of, you know, how God views a table when he sits down and speaks with us, or when he, you know, rests fruit on that table, and how it's a very steady and stable structure. And so I started thinking about when he wears away the things that are not pleasing to him to make us look more like him, that he is evening us out into that table-like structure. And, you know, from Matthew 16:18, it even took me to Psalms 23:5, that says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. And he really started to talk to me about, you know, the table in that scripture is, you know, it's almost like an extra insult to the enemy. You know what I'm saying? Because you cannot biologically be afraid and eat at the same time. It's impossible. That's why, you know, gum and mints, they tell you to like chew that before you give a big speech. And so that, it just made me think about, what if, you know, one of the greatest insults to the enemy when you're in that kind of season is, what if you're that table? What if the biggest kick in the face to the enemy that you can give them is the finished work of the cross in you, being that stable, even structure, no matter what is going on around you, that you're the table.
That's good. That's really, really good. And as you're sitting there sharing that with me about the table that, you know, from the plateau that's formed through the wind and the rain, the storms in our life, and then that picture, the visual of the bowl of fruit, like you said, I've seen in thousands of pictures. Yet, I think if you ask anybody that's a follower of Jesus, we all want to make a difference with our one and only lives.
Absolutely.
We want to bear fruit.
Exactly.
And yet, it comes through those plateaus, those storms. Is that kind of what you're saying here?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, at the end of that National Geographic quote, it even says it gives distinction from surrounding terrain. We're not going to look like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's that's another thing. I feel like there's so much misunderstanding in the body of Christ that there's a lot of jealousy over platforms and there's a lot of jealousy over different callings. Mm. But if you look at Psalm 68:15, it says the mountain of God is the mountain of Bashan. The mountain of many peaks is the mountain of Bashan. Why do you fume with envy, you mountain of many peaks? This is the mountain which God desires to dwell in. Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. So that's telling me that there's no competition for your mountain peak. There's no one that's competing for what he's calling you to except for you. And, you know, those seasons can feel like they're just weathering you away, like there's not going to be anything left of you. But I think that's almost the point. There's nothing left of you. It's him. And when you reach that calling, when you reach that new place that he has from you, I mean, you go from glory to glory. So it's not just up and down. It's more like a like one of those doctor's charts, you know what I'm saying? They keep going up. So even your next valley is going to be higher than that last valley because we're going to keep going up. And so there's nobody competing for your calling. There's nobody competing for what he's called you to. You have to just be faithful and you have to wait for him to do it because he will. He will because he promises you that he will. And he doesn't go back on his word.
Amen. Amen. And I know that's a word for somebody today that needs to hear that. And she's sharing those things about that. And, you know, we get guilty when we start comparing ourselves to other people, whether it's teaching, singing, finances, whatever it is, how many podcasts people listen to of our programs, how many likes we get on something we post on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I mean, the list goes on and on. I know I'm guilty of that at times. And yet, I want to encourage you, when she talked about that bowl of fruit and the plateau and the table, that, you know, the fruit, you know, John 15:5 says, if a person remains in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But the fruit in your life may be cancer. It may be divorce. It may be bankruptcy. It could be something traumatic that happened in the childhood. But God can use that fruit that we may not see as, quote, good fruit. But he can use it for his good, but it's got to be about Jesus, doesn't it? And not
absolutely.
About, not about us.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible tells us that he works all things together for our good. And actually, you know, 2 Corinthians 1:4 tells us that he comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others when they're troubled. And we'll be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. And so I really feel like, when you are going through a struggle that you know that you are right with God and you know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, just hold on because your calling is going to crush you. You know, if you're called to mend the brokenheartedness, you're going to wrestle brokenheartedness yourself. If you're called to preach and teach the gospel, you'll be sifted for the wisdom that anoints your message. And if you're called to empower, your self-esteem will be attacked. Your successes will be hard fought. Your calling will come with cups and thorns and sifting that are necessary for your mantle to be authentic and humble and powerful. And your crushing won't be easy because your assignment's not easy. Your oil isn't cheap.
Amen. That's so good. I love also you had in your writing, you talked about Hebrews 12:1. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And, I mean, we live in such a fast-paced culture and society. We want to have it now. And, I mean, my goodness, now you see something you want, you go to Amazon, you have it delivered to your house the next day.
Right. Absolutely.
And it's just hard to have patience. But I've said this many times, but I think God, you know, if you have a choice without having something coming from the microwave to eat or a crock pot, most people are going to say, man, I want the crock pot because but it takes more time.
Yeah.
And yet what you're sharing here, going through all these plateaus in our life when they happen, I mean, it just takes time sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, the great news about that is that even when you feel like you're never going to come out of it, he promises that you will. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 tells you that the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. He will finish what he started. And Isaiah 43:13 tells you that no one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I've done. And I think that someone maybe just needs to hear that that means yourself. Even you can't undo what he's already started in you.
That's exactly right. You may think, okay, well, we got sidetracked here, but God has not forgotten you. He's still on his throne, and he wants to use this, and he will take all things, if you said, and make them good. And you also shared, you know, the real powerful scripture there about the jar, the common clay jars. I like that so much.
I love that scripture. So that's 2 Corinthians 4:7-10, which says, we are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times, we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. We're persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but we're not out. We continually share in the death of Jesus in our own body so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity.
Man.
If that doesn't get you, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not often that I'm speechless, but I have not read that passage for a while. And I just love that first part, that this extraordinary overflow of power was seen as God's, not ours. And to be honest with you, I fight that battle between, you know, Greg doing it and God doing it.
Yeah.
And yet we know that clay, he wants to mold us into his image. And that scripture says, we may be knocked down, but you're not out.
Right.
And I think that's a strong word for somebody today.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've experienced this in your life, too, that he will take you through circumstances that he will bring you out of. And there's no way that we could have contrived it. There's no way that we could have done it on our own. And so when we see circumstances like that, we realize how incredibly holy and righteous he is on his throne, because we could have never done that for ourselves.
Amen. Well, and the thing I've heard, this seems like it's come to my mind a lot lately from pastors I've listened to over the past year. Instead of asking God, you know, why, asking what, you know, what is it you want me to learn from this? You know, not why is this storm happening? Why is this rain, this wind coming? What do you want to do with it? What, you know, what plateau do you want to make in my life?
That's so good.
And so I want to encourage somebody today, instead of playing that why card, ask that what card. God, what do you want to do through this? What are you kind of trying to mold me in? What kind of clay jar are you trying to make me into?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's pretty cool in everything that he does. I mean, we know that. But, you know, being worn away into a plateau is not an easy or a painless process, but it's worth it. It's worth it every time.
Well, I hope you're encouraged by those words from Megan. You can hear her passion for Jesus. Any final parting thoughts today? Time flies when you're having fun, but any final parting thoughts you want to share for about this?
Yeah, I would just encourage anyone that is in that type of season that they just really reach out to someone else and, you know, let someone know what you're going through, but know that you're going to come out of it. Don't. That's not a place to live. It's a place to visit and to surrender. The quicker you yield to what he wants to do in that season, the quicker you're going to be able to come out of it. And it's in those moments, you know, the Christian walk isn't defined by when it's going well. It's defined by how you walk it out when it's not going well.
Wow, that's good stuff right there. Well, I hope you've been encouraged if you're going through a plateau season right now of life. For Megan Jordan, I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here. Need help selling your home? Or are you looking to buy your dream home? Let Diana Fields and her team with the Millennium Real Estate Group at Keller Williams Bluegrass Realty help you. Serving Central Kentucky in real estate and property management for 21 years, Diana Fields and the Millennium team have the experience to help you with one of life's biggest decisions in buying or selling a home. Contact Diana Fields today at 859-621-0604 or online at millenniumlex.com. That's millenniumlex.com.